today. I like to do that. I found it helps my altar call. I get people lying right from the start, right? No, you look great. I'm happy to be with you. Thank you for welcoming me, and you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I feel right at home here. I want to brag on you guys a little bit. You have a beautiful place here of worship, and you're beautiful people. The communion this morning was so meaningful. I feel that communion is a time to experience a miracle and a healing. Paul said to the church at Corinth, can I just act like I'm at home today and just be comfortable with you guys, just talk to you from my heart. I feel at home. I was raised in the country. I live in Dallas, Texas right now, but I was born in Tennessee to the home of an evangelist. My mom and dad were traveling the country preaching when I was born. Settled in Mississippi when I was 18 months old, so I was raised in country environment. And so to be here in a little bit outside of Atlanta, the big city, and to be out in the suburb, I feel at home here in Georgia. But God... God has a plan for you and for us, and it would not surprise me anything that God would do in this service today, tonight, tomorrow night. I share in Pastor Darrell's excitement to be in ministry and in service with David Huff. I remember as a child, I would almost tell you how long ago that's been. When I was a child, it's funny how you start having more birthdays and you really kind of don't want to start talking about that stuff. But I remember my dad was pastoring in Mississippi and got a phone call from a pastor friend of his from Laurel, Mississippi. He said, this rock and roll band, they've come to the church and they've found Jesus. And these guys had sang with the Beatles and they were big stuff, but they got Jesus in their heart. And he said, they're still rocking, but they've changed their lyrics. They love Jesus. And so I was in a service with David Huff just a few months ago, and I will tell you from the bottom of my heart, he's probably one of the most humble and pure, genuine guys you'll ever meet. And you're going to be really, really blessed by his spirit and by his singing on Monday night. So I'm looking forward to that. I want to have fun with you guys today, tonight, and tomorrow. I'd like for you guys to just commit. You know what? We're just going to get here. We're going to press. I've already stopped my New Year's resolution. I've already stopped going to the gym. Come on, somebody, give me a good amen. I did hold my gym membership, though, because I like to go by and get a smoothie every now and then. Can I get a witness today? But I want to get back to communion. Paul said to the church at Corinth, for this cause, he said, some of you do not properly discern the body of Christ, talking about communion that we did. He said, for this cause, many of you are sick or weakly or weak, and some have even died prematurely because they didn't properly discern the body of Christ. Thank you. Thank you for playing. And the band did great today, the worship team. He said, for this cause, many of you are dying prematurely. So it says to us that if improperly discerning the body and the blood of Christ causes sickness, then properly discerning the body of Christ causes healing. And so I believe that today the platform is set for you to experience a miracle in your life, in your body, in your family, in your home. God is here to help us. Can someone just shout yes? I like the yes banners on each side. And here's what I tell our church that we want to say to Jesus. Lord, my answer is yes. Now what's the question? And so we just want to live a yes life. I want to give a shout out to Jude and Elle, the son and daughter of Pastor Darrell and Kristen. They are wonderful. I've been calling them kids for a long, long time, but I looked over and I'm almost having to say yes, sir, to Jude now. I'm almost having to look up to him, and I'm like, what has happened to this young kid that's been like this? And he's just growing like a weed. He's a fine young man, and Elle, a fine young lady. They are like family to us. In fact, if you ever can't find them, Dallas should be the first place you look, because they know our door is always open, and they're like family to us. I want to give love to Pastor Daryl and Kristen, and so sorry for what she's dealing with. But these are great people, and I can tell you that Pastor Daryl is missed in Texas. We have a welcome home sign hanging at the Texas state line. Just anytime he wants to come back to Texas, he has an open invitation. But I know that God sent him here, and God called him to you and to this church body. And you're so blessed to have a man that is, you know, some guys are preachers and then some guys are just preachers. And he is a professional preacher of the Word of God. And so you're blessed to hear him and hear his voice and his heart. And I can tell you that he loves you from the bottom of his heart. I feel that and hear that and know that. And then I want to give a shout out to my oldest daughter. Ashton, why don't you stand real quick so everybody can see you? I love my Ashton so much, and I'm glad that she's able to travel with me. You know what? I emailed a picture up of my family. I don't know if you got it in time to put it up, but I have two daughters and one wife. That's the best way to do that, isn't it? Better than one daughter and two wives. But I have two daughters and my wife, Karen. Ashton is 19? I have to think about that. That's crazy. But she's with me today. My younger daughter, Alexa, is 17. And when she found out I was coming out here and that we labeled this revival, she said, "Dad, do you know how to do that?" I said, "Girl, where were you?" I felt like God asking Job, "Where were you when the worlds were formed?" I said, "Before you even got here, I was preaching revivals. I've been doing this for a long time." So she's not here today to be a part of revival, but I'm glad that my firstborn daughter is with me. I want to talk to you today from a story in the Scripture that is very meaningful to me. Before I get to that, I read this story last week, this joke. They said an old gentleman lived alone in, can we pick on Alabama? Is it all right? Okay. Yeah, y'all like that? I have a girl from Alabama that sits front and center in our church, and so I pick on Alabama every Sunday. And we have three services, and so she will be there for at least two of those, and I'll make an Alabama comment. And you know, those Alabama people, they are so proud of their football, and they're just, well, she might hear the podcast, so I better be careful, but they're precious. But let's pick on Alabama. They said this old gentleman lived alone in Alabama, and he wanted to plant his annual tomato garden, but it was very difficult work as the ground had gotten very hard. So his only son, Vincent, who used to help him, was away in prison. That's Alabama for you. The old man wrote a letter to his son in prison and described his predicament. He said, "Dear Vincent, I'm feeling pretty sad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to be digging up a garden plot. But I know if you were here, my troubles would be over. I know you would be happy to dig the plot for me like the old days. Love, Papa." A few days later, Papa received a letter from his son. "Dear Papa, don't dig up that garden. That's where all the bodies are buried. Love, Vinny." At 4 a.m. the next morning, FBI agents, local police, and security, they arrived and started digging up the entire area without finding any bodies. They apologized to the old man and said, "We're sorry for the mess we've made," and they left quietly. That same day, the old man received another letter from his son. "Dear Papa, go ahead and plant the tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under the circumstances." God bless Alabama. Can I preach to you for a few moments? Just share with you from a story. 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. One day, Elisha went to the town of Shunem, and a wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. At least this prophet had his priorities straight. And this lady, a wealthy lady, she said, I want the prophet to come by our house. I want him to come eat with us. So then verse 9, she said to her husband, I am sure. Somebody say, I am sure. She said, I am sure that this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. He's a man of God. I'm sure of it. I can feel, I can know that this guy that's passing by our house, there's something different about him. Verse 10, let's make a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. And then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by. Let's make room for the prophet of God in our house. And so I want to just talk to you for a few minutes this morning on three benefits of making room. Three benefits of making room. Because I promise you, when you make room, God will do what he can do. The prophet of God had just finished setting up a family in the oil business in the previous seven verses. They came to him and said, there's a widow and they're about to come. The creditors are about to take her sons because she has a debt that she can't pay. And so why don't you go see what you can do? And so this same prophet Elisha goes to the widow and he says, go borrow vessels, borrow not a few, bring those back to your home, and we're going to take the little bit that you have and let God multiply it. He asked the widow lady, what do you have in your house? And her first answer was, I don't have anything in my house. Have you ever noticed it's easier to focus on what we don't have than what we do have? And the enemy would love for you to feel that you don't have what you need. But I am here to preach to you today that God will take something you already have and give you what you need. What do you have in the house? We don't have anything, was the first answer. We don't have anything save just a little pot of oil. And the man of God said, God will take the little oil that you have and he will multiply that. Go borrow vessels, borrow not a few, and bring those, and you're going to fill those vessels. And so she did and filled them. And he said, now then, I want you to take all of this oil that has been multiplied, go sell it, pay your debts, and then live off the surplus. How many of you are glad that God is a God of the surplus? He can do exceedingly abundantly above. Somebody shout above. He can do above what we can ask or even think. He can outdo what our mouth can ask, and he can outperform what our mind can think. Does anybody believe that about our God today? I'm telling you, I believe this from the depth of my soul, or I wouldn't be up here today, because God still can exceed our expectations and exceed our petitions. He is a God of the surplus. Elisha finishes putting this widow lady into the oil business, and then he passes to the next town, and that brings us to our text. The lady said, I want this man to come eat with us. Now, the prophet of God in this Old Testament time represented the manifest presence of God. The prophet of God represented God to the people, and he would say things like, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And he would bring words from God. Thus saith the Lord. The prophet represented the presence of God, and there was something about this wealthy lady. She wanted the presence of God, not just on Sunday, not just in church, but she wanted God's presence to be in her house. She wanted God's presence to have a place in her house. Elisha, he was trained by Elijah, and I will tell you that any unsubmitted gift is a gift that is unanointed. And so Elisha submitted his gift to his predecessor, to his trainer, to Elijah. And God raised him up, and God multiplied him, and God blessed him. Because anything you give to God, God multiplies it. You will never give something to God and receive it back the same. It will always be better. It will always be more. It will always be multiplied. You sow it and allow God to grow it. I've taught our church, and I've said, you know what? If what you have in your hand will not meet your need, then it must be your seed. So sow it and let God grow it. So my younger daughter came to me a few months ago, and she said, Dad, I have a need. And I said, okay, well, what is it? She said, I need a new pair of tennis shoes. I said, all right, well, let's pray about this. She said, I've already prayed about it. I said, well, baby, have you been sowing and giving to God? She said, yeah, Dad. She said, the $10 I had, it wasn't enough to meet my needs, so you taught me to turn it to seed and let God grow it. And I said, well, don't start using my preaching against me. She said, Dad, that's what you taught me. And so I said, okay, well, let's pray about this and see what God says. And she said, I've already prayed. God said, you were a part of my answer. I've sown it. Now let's go let God get me those tennis shoes. At least she's listening. Anything you give to God, it multiplies. I was reading that they found some seed over in Israel, in Masada, that they felt was 2,000 years old. It was a palm tree seed. They planted it in the ground, and it began to grow. The seed remained seed until it was sown. The seed never multiplied until it was sown. Anything given to God multiplies. It's impossible to give something to God and it remain the same. This lady, being drawn to the presence of God, made a room, and she said, I want this prophet of God to come by our house. And so it was that as often as he came by, he would stay with them. I just want to tell you today, I heard them singing the song that your presence is an open door. I remarked to one of the guys, the presence of God is an open door to anything and everything you need. I don't know what your need is. Some of you may be praying about a child. Some of you may be praying about a grandchild that's gone wayward. Some of you may be praying about a family situation. Some of you may be praying about something going on in your life or perhaps in your job. But I'm here to minister to you today that His presence is an open door to open to anything that you need. He cares about you. He cares about what you're feeling. He is moved with compassion toward your problem. So I want to show you just three things that I see in this text today that are benefits. When you get God's presence in your house, when you get God's presence in your life, when you value the presence of God, you have every benefit and every blessing, because the Bible said in His presence, you'll know the rest of that verse, in His presence there is fullness of joy. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. When you get God's presence, you get everything He has. I want to show you the first benefit that you get. Number one, you get God's attention. When you get God's presence, when you make room for God, you get God's attention. This lady said to her husband, would it be all right with you if we make an upper room, if we make a small room for this prophet? I want God's presence to be in our house. I want the prophet of God to be here. He said, sure, let's make the room. They built the upper room, some translations say. It was up on a high place, which was actually the room of choice. It was the place that if the people could afford to build a room there, the homeowner would really like to stay there. But she said, I want to give God our best. I want to give the place, the presence of God. I want to give it the best position in our home. I want to give it the best position in our life. I want to give it the best position in our family, because there may come a day that we need what only God can give. And so I want to give God first place in my life. Is there anybody here today that you feel that way? He's done so much for me. I want to give Him first place in my life. My mother used to say, He's either Lord of all or He isn't Lord at all. He's either first or He's not Lord at all in our lives. And so we offer Him our first and we offer Him our best. That's why we're here on Sunday morning. That's why Sunday is the first day of the week. You know what? We as believers who believe in Jesus Christ, we declare every week on the first day of the week that the Lord is our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is our God, and we set aside the first day of the week to come to God's house. Do you know what? You're telling the devil every Sunday when you get up and come to the house of God, I believe in God, His name is Jesus, and I'm going to His house to give Him praise. Let's give God a good amen right now. You get God's attention when you make that room for Him. Verse 13 in chapter 4, when she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, tell this lady that we appreciate her kind concern. We appreciate all that you have shown us. And he said, I want you to ask her, what can we do for you? What can we do for you? When you put God first, then God starts asking you questions like, what do you need? What would you like from, is it all right if I come off the stage here? Can I come down here? When you start putting God first, then God starts asking you questions like, well, what do you need for me to do for you? But when you start making room for His presence in your life, then you're going to hear Him saying, you know, what do you need me to do for your family? What do you need me to do for your grandchild? What do you need me to do in your marriage? What do you need me to do in your job? What is it that you would like for me to do for you? You get God's attention. How many of you would like God to ask you that question? What would you like me to do for you today? What would you like for me to do in your life today? Well, can I tell you, it's my belief that God is passing by here today to ask every one of you, what is it that you would like from me? What is it that you would like for me to do in your life? What would you like me to change in your life? Part of the reason that this story is so important to me is because I lived this story as a dream of my mom and dad, I guess. Because the second thing that you're going to see that you get when you make room for God is that the impossible becomes possible. The impossible becomes possible in your life. My mom and dad had been married for 4 years. They had been told they could not have children. My mom and dad were in evangelistic ministry at that time. They had a night off from their revival service, and they went to a revival down in small town Louisiana. They were in a rounded shaped building that today is converted to the office for a mini storage. I was passing through there a few years ago when my mom was still alive, and she said, George, right there is where it happened, the story that I'm about to tell you. There was a man by the name of Eddie Ray up ministering the Word of God. And he looked at my mother and father, and not knowing in his natural knowledge, but he knew what he knew in the Spirit. And he said to this couple right here, better be careful where I point, somebody might get blessed today. He said to this couple right here, and spoke to my mother and father, and he said, you've been told that you can't have a child. And then the enemy has tried to destroy your faith that you'll never have a child. And he said, according to the time of the life, so shall you have a child. You're going to have a son. And he began to tell them. And my mom and dad tell the story that 9 months later, I came about. When I was born to a mother and father who had been told they could not have children. And then who the devil then works with the situations of your life to try to make you think that it's never going to change. God, I'm preaching to someone today. And he will tell you, well, it's always been this way and it's never going to get any better. And you've always struggled with this and you might as well just get used to it. I've come to tell you today, God wants to step in and break the chain of the past and give you a miracle in your life. I was born in Dyersburg, Tennessee, as I told you earlier, and my mom and dad said I didn't breathe for 4.5 minutes. When my wife heard that, she said, that explains a lot of things to me. It's impossible for the brain to be without oxygen that long and not be affected. And so if I ever do anything that my wife doesn't like, I just point back to that and say, well, you know, 4.5 minutes is a long time with no, come on here today. My dad lifted me to the Lord and held me up. And he said, God, you promised us a son. And I don't believe that you promised to give him to us, to take him now. But I lift him to you, Lord. He's yours. He belongs to you. And they said I started sneezing and coughing in my dad's hands. And God breathed breath into my body. I preach this message today because it's personal to me. And I preach to you, I don't know what is dead in your life, but God is able to breathe life into it today. I don't know what promise has tried to die on you, but I feel like jumping up here. God is able to breathe life into that situation that the enemy has tried to tell you there is no hope. It's never going to change. They're never going to get right with God. That bill is never going to get paid. That situation is never going to turn around. I've come by the power of the name of Jesus to declare a 2020 turnaround in your family. I think I drank too much coffee this morning. I'm about to have a fit right here. God is here to turn something around in your life and to breathe fresh life where the enemy says there is death and where the enemy says there is no hope and where the enemy wants you to give in and throw in the towel. I'll tell you what we're going to do with the towel. We're going to just throw the towel away and say, Jesus is Lord. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything I can ask or think. Where'd my towel go? Hallelujah. I threw it away, but I want to pick it back up for just a minute. God is able to change something in your life today. If you believe that, shout yes. Touch somebody and say, God is able. The impossible becomes possible. I'll come to a close. Verse 15 and 16 of the same chapter. The prophet of God, he said, call her back again. Call this woman that made room for the presence of God. Call her back again. When the woman returned, she stood in the doorway, and there, here he declares, he said, I have a word from the Lord for you. Next year, at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. I feel like I have a word from the Lord for you today. Next year, at this time, you will be holding a miracle in your arms. Next year, at this time, you will begin to multiply. Next year, somebody shout next year. There's something beginning in you right now. There's something God wants to do in your life right now. I wonder, is there anybody that's open to letting God do something in your life and let it begin right now? Come on. Are you willing to let God work in your life? The impossible becomes possible. I love this. The prophet didn't mince words. He just said, next year at this time, you will. Somebody shout, you will. You will be holding a son in your arms. And then I want to get to point three so that I can close. The third benefit I see here of really making room for the presence of God, making room for God in your life, putting Him in first place, is that you get a second chance at things once lost. You get a second chance at things that seem like it's over, it's done, it's dead, it's past. You get a second chance when you make God first in your life. This son that Elisha had promised to them, you're going to have a son. The Bible said that The son was out working with his dad, and he starts crying, "My head is hurting, my head is hurting." And the dad said to one of the servants, "Take him home to mama. Take him to his mother. Because listen, you rarely know what to do with a miracle you didn't birth." He said, I don't know what to do with this. Take him to somebody that birthed him. Take him to the lady that was involved in seeing and sensing the presence of God. To that one that believed that God could. Take him to his mother. Elisha said to his servant, he said, "Take my staff and go place it on the child." Elisha realized that his staff would be able to get there quicker than he could. He realized that his staff could work in a more timely fashion, and that until he could get there, there are some things the staff would take care of. I want to thank you for serving and being, I don't know what you call your serve team here, a team church, being a part of the team. Thank you for being a part of the team. Did you know that you're the hands and the feet of Jesus? Will y'all give me 5 more minutes? How many would give me 5? Let me tell you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I've got at least an hour right there. I'm winding down. You know, we have a guy that serves on our team church right now. He's all in. In fact, that's what they're talking about at home today, serving all in. That's the message and the value that we're talking about, serving all in. This guy serves all in. God delivered him from 28 years of alcoholism. His marriage was over. His family was done with him. And he was just bound and locked up. But in one moment, God set him free. Who am I preaching to today that just in one moment, God wants to break a chain off of your life? That's what God wants to do for us here today. He's really here to help us. He really loves you. He's really crazy about you. And so this guy said, and he's been a part of the church now for a little over 2 years. And man, they serve all in. They're there for all 3 services. They get there early. He'll be worshiping in one and serving in another and then come back in. He's just all in, and his wife and his family is there with him now. And they have about 20 or 30 people sitting around them that they've brought to the church because he wanted them to taste and see and to experience the goodness of God. He went and borrowed vessels and borrowed not a few. He brought them and said, "I want you to see this man, Christ Jesus, that has changed my life. That has given me my life back." And so we asked him, said, "Well, what was it that touched your heart?" And he said, "I don't remember the message." Thanks a lot, pal. But really, it's fine with me because we're all on the team. We're all just playing our part. He said, "I don't remember the message. I don't remember the songs that were sung." He said, "What I remember is on the way home, I said to my wife, that team that serves around that church, they are so happy to be there and they serve with such joy." He said, "I don't know how God would ever let me do it, but I want to see if God will let me be on that team someday, and I want to serve on team church." Listen, it was the team that touched his heart. It wasn't necessarily a song, and it wasn't necessarily a sermon. It was a team that touched his heart, and God gave him life back. God wants to give someone your life back today. You'll get a second chance at things that seem lost. Send the boy home. Send him to his mother. The Bible said that she set the boy on her lap. He died at noon. And she took the boy and then placed him on the bed of the man of God. She took him back to that place of presence, that special place in her house where she said, "I always want God's presence to be welcome in our home. I always want God's presence to have a place to live in our home." When she got in trouble, she took that dead promise and laid it on the bed of the man of God. And then she goes to her husband and said, "Saddle up the donkeys. I've got to get to the man of God." But she trusted her son in the bed of presence. She trusted her son in the room where they had built for God, because she knew, if I can get him to that place of God's presence, he's going to be okay. The dad said, "Well, why are you going today? It's not the new moon and it's not Sabbath." She said, "It's going to be okay." She just started speaking a word of prophecy. "It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right." And so she comes up to the prophet, and the prophet said to his servant, said, ask her, how is it with your son? How is it with your husband? And how is it with you? Ask her those three things. And so the servant Gehazi said, how is it with your husband? How is it with your son? And how is it with you? And the little lady, she said to him, all is well. In reality, her son was at home dead. But in her faith, all is well. Somebody shout, all is well. I wish you'd say it again. Say, all is well. Say it like you believe it. Say, all is well. I don't know what may seem dead in your life, but all is well. I don't know what seems like it stopped breathing in your life, but all is well. I don't know what promise the devil has tried to take from you, but all is well. God wants to breathe new life into you in the holy name of Jesus. If you receive that, give God your greatest praise right now. They can come to the music. I'm going to close. The Bible said that when Elisha got there, he put his eyes on that son. He put his mouth to the mouth of the son. He put his hands on the hands of the son. It tells me that he wanted that dead promise to feel what he was feeling, to see what he was seeing, and to speak what he was speaking. He wanted to feel that dead promise with the word of God. Mama's already declaring that all is well. Mama's already speaking the word of faith that all is well. That's what you're thinking when the music finally starts. You're thinking, well, he's going to quit today. There is hope. I tell them sometime at home, come and give them the most hopeful key you can find. And the music starts playing and they said, well, he's going to let us go. I always tell them, I want to let you go before God says, let my people go. You'll get a second chance at things once lost. The prophet put his mouth on the mouth, the eyes on the eyes, the hands on the hands. And then the Bible said the prophet got up and paced once across the room and prayed, God, raise this son. He went back, got close to him again. And the Bible says that dead son, his body began to warm. He began to warm and he sneezed seven times. We see the number seven throughout Scripture. I don't have time to talk about that. But the fact is, God warmed that dead promise. The breath of life came into it, and it was restored. And what I'm telling you here today, sir, what I'm telling you here today, ma'am, your promise that seems dead, God's had it in the toaster oven this morning. It's warming up. It's warming up. And that promise that seemed lifeless and over, God's going to restore and renew and breathe fresh life into your situation. I wonder who's here today that maybe you felt a connection in your heart and in your spirit. You feel like, I want to claim this word for my life. Would you just raise your hand like, I want to claim this word in my family. If you don't feel it, that's fine. Don't raise your hand. But if you feel it, just raise your hand right now. Just hold it up for a minute. Let God see it. Just hold it up unashamedly. I want to claim this word in my family. I want to claim this word. That's it. I see some standing and saying, I want this in my family. I want this in my home. I want this in my children. I want this in my grandchildren. I need this in my life. I need this in my life. Let's pray right now all over this room. Father, by the power of thine own name, Jesus, I'm asking you to breathe upon us the breath of life. I'm asking you to breathe upon us the breath of hope. I'm asking you to breathe into someone the breath of your spirit and presence that gives us the confirmation and the strength and the confidence to say, I'm claiming this word for my family today. I'm claiming this word for my situation today. I'm claiming this word for me. I'm going to make a fresh start toward Jesus, and I'm claiming this in my heart today. In Jesus' name, I want you to stand with me all over this room. I'm believing that God is connecting with your heart. I'm believing that God is connecting with your spirit, connecting with your soul. I'll tell you, I'm standing here deliberating on exactly how I want to close, because I want another point of contact with you. I'm either going to ask you to step into the aisle if you feel a God connection, or I'm going to ask and open this area that you could come down. I know our time is... When did we start caring about time so much, though? Where you got to go? You got a plane? I mean, it's Sunday. This is the Lord's Day, and we're going to come back and just spend the day here, aren't we? Tonight we're going to be here and just believe God all over again that promise that is warming in our heart and spirit, that God is speaking new life into it. So here we go. If you want to claim that God is going to give you a second chance at something lost, that God is going to make the impossible possible in your life, if you want to claim that for you, I want you to just step into the aisle. Step out of your chair and just step into the aisle right now, very quickly. Very quickly. Just take a step, very quickly. I will tell you, God is here to help somebody, and somebody's going to receive miracles today. Miracles don't have to be weird. God's not weird. God's not wacky. He's in the business of loving and helping His kids. And if you will feel sensitively, you're going to feel an arm wrap around you. And it's the hand of God, the arm of God, wrapping around you to let you know He's got you. He's with you. He hasn't forsaken you. I want you to just lift your hands toward heaven and maybe stretch them this way, and I want to pray with you right now. Father, I've spoken your word of faith in this room today. You know every situation that is represented behind the people who have stepped out today. People have responded to your word in faith, believing you to do only that which you can do. I'm agreeing with their faith right now. And sir and ma'am, I agree with your faith right now by the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I speak fresh hope. I speak fresh life. I speak fresh breath of God into you in the mighty name of Jesus. Be healed in this room today. I'm speaking to someone who is bound by chains. I speak to someone who is bound by the past or bound by addiction. I speak to you, be set free in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, heal your people, save your people, and set us on straight street. Put our feet on a firm foundation. I call you healed. I call you blessed. I call you delivered. I call you set free in the mighty name of Jesus. If you receive that and believe that, I want everyone to give God the greatest praise you can. Pastor, come if you will. Come on, listen.